Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
Hi, everyone. We are coming to you from Paris tonight. We are in the midst of our family vacation. And one of the things that we are doing while we are traveling is making sure that our kids have some time to do some schoolwork and some academic training. One of the things that our oldest son is doing is practicing his coding skills. We've often gotten the question about teaching kids to code. And we thought we would take today's episode to talk about some of the strategies that we have used to instill some technical skills in our kids.
Anytime I've talked about teaching our sons to code, I immediately get a number of questions on Twitter and via email about, well, how have you done it? What have you done? What's your approach? I want to outline kind of the canonical thing, at least to date, that we've tried and what's worked and what hasn't.
But I think at the beginning of the discussion, it's important to sort of reiterate that this is something to teach kids because it is fun. It's certainly beneficial. It's a great skill to have moving forward in the future of the marketplace and all of those things. But especially with young children, this is definitely not something that parents should get really crazy about and be high pressure or forceful about. These are skills that can be learned at any point in life. And if your kids are really into it, fabulous. If they're not into it, it's probably not something that is helpful to really push.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For me, since it resonated at such a young age, I was 8 years old when I learned to code. It was on an Apple IIe as they came out, and it just worked for me. It fit the model of how I thought. So for me, I can't see much harm in learning to do it. What I see harm in is trying to force a kid to do it who doesn't necessarily want to do it, who isn't just kind of set up to do that type of mind frame. I think that if it does resonate with someone, the exposure to it is fantastic because it's an amazing career opportunity. Like Mark Andreessen said, software is eating the world, and it's only become more and more and more the case over the past 30 years since I learned to code. And over the next 30 years, it's going to become more of that. So in terms of job opportunities, it's huge.
And thankfully, there are a lot of fun ways that parents and kids can do this kind of learning together.
Right. And I think the thought, too, I want to punch in here is that even if your child is not going to be a software developer, learning to code in some form or fashion helps them understand kind of the logic base that computers need to follow. So whether they write printer drivers or whether they build websites or whether they just learn enough that they can manage someone who writes code at some point or whether they can understand how to work a computer better because they understand about this technical stuff, I think almost without exception, any career over the next decade or two, at least a nominal knowledge of coding is going to assist them and help them in that career.
Yeah, it certainly helps me to be not too scared of the back end of a block.
Seriously.
Which is really little, but like many of my physician and psychologist and therapist colleagues are a little bit nervous about that when they see all these expressions and terms that they don't understand.
Right. So like you log into the back end of WordPress, and if you code, you pick it up, you just figure it out. And if you don't, and I'm thinking of like my mom and my dad, if I was like to log them into WordPress, which I consider a pretty basic introductory kind of rudimentary system, it's like they don't have the background to even build upon. The terms don't make sense. And so learning something about coding, even if you're not going to do it for a living, is going to help create that framework so that you can do these complicated things.
And one of the important skills to have some mastery of before you begin conversations about coding is, of course, some ability to read. But there's a game that came out a couple of years ago. It was a Kickstarter game that actually allows kids who are pre-literate, kids who aren't even reading yet, starting at even like age 3, can start beginning some of the basic logic of coding where they're stringing a couple of different directions together towards an ultimate goal. And that game is Robot Turtles.
That's right. And I'm a fiend for Kickstarter, let me be honest.
Yeah, but yes, yep. You are.
Pretty much something comes across Kickstarter.
Kind of like an addict. Like, yeah. Is addict above or below fiend? I don't know.
You know what I like about it is it's stuff that's pushing the envelope. And some of it, like maybe 20-30% of what I back doesn't get funded. And that's cool to me that it's like it was so not popular that it didn't get backed. And then the other stuff that gets funded is like it has never existed in the marketplace before. And that's what Robot Turtles is. It's a board game, to boil it down. It's really ideal for 3 to maybe 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple. It's just about learning how to give instructions to a computer. So it's a lot like there was an old system called Go. The Go system was on an actual computer and you would say turn right and then move forward 10 and then turn right and move forward 20. And it just teaches you how to kind of lay out instructions in a logical fashion. And Robot Turtles is in essence the same way, but it's on a board. It has some cool, pretty cool art. You can fire lasers to melt ice cubes.
It's really cute.
Yeah. And as you said, you don't have to know how to type. You don't have to know how to read. You can basically just figure out, I'm going to give instructions to this thing and it's going to move this way. And what I found is that with our youngest, when we started teaching it to him, he basically got the instructions. With our older child, who is probably 7 or 8, I would say you're going to need to do 5 instructions at a time.
So you can make it more complicated for kids who can handle a longer string of directions.
That's right. And I wish that it taught more complex coding concepts like while loops and for loops and if-then statements, and it doesn't, but it is a pretty good start for this kind of stuff. I guess it's better than nothing, and I don't know a better way to teach your kid concepts at 3, right, or 3 or 4. I mean, Robot Turtles is kind of the best thing that I've found, and we have a copy at home. We still use it to
introduce. We still play it every now and then, yep. Even though our kids are getting a little bit older. So there's one other tool that kids can use that is pre-typing, and this is Scratch. And it is a program that was put out by MIT, their media lab. And I've seen the book. It comes with a book and a software package, and it's also online.
Yeah, it used to be downloadable software. And the cool part is that when they launched, it was like version 2, it's all web-based now. So okay. All you need is a browser. If you go to Scratch,
so I can delete the files from my computer.
All
now.
That stuff gone. Free up that hard drive space. So scratch.mit.edu will get you there. You can check it out. There's a bunch of books about it if you search on Amazon, but the one that I found that is really cool is called Super Scratch Programming Adventure 2nd Edition.
The software is drag and drop, but to do much of this independently, you kind of need to be able to read.
Yeah, a little bit. That's right. So what we did with our oldest was I would read through the book with him, although he read at the time. But the nice part was that there's a comic adventure in the book. He would read the comic and the cat, there's like a cat on the cover of the thing of the book, and he would get into trouble. And then to save him, you'd have to write this program to do something.
It's a really great learning technique for kids because It integrates a story and problem solving that's accessible with these different tools that you're using to solve the problem.
That's right. And so we enjoyed that. It's this book itself is maybe 9 chapters or 10 chapters. Each chapter is 10, 15 pages, but it's mostly comic book. I mean, it's a full color book, and it in essence is a project, and you just drag and drop. You being the kid, drag and drop these elements.
Are you sure?
I know. These while loops, these if-then statements. Now we're really getting into programming concepts where it's not full programming, to be fair, but it's the child does not have to know how to type. So I literally think at a 5, 6, 7-year-old level, this is a pretty good way to do it, just to teach him some basic stuff. And if the child doesn't want to do it at this point, back off. That's my logic. And if it really resonates with that kid, then dive into it and do it and allow them to, because they're creating things. And the cool part about the scratch.mit.edu space is that it's a community space. And so there are other kids and certainly teenagers and grownups posting their own games that they've built with this thing. It's all very graphical. It's pretty rudimentary. But our son really enjoyed playing other people's games and then trying to go in and tweak things and make his own games. And it was just this tinkering that resonated with him.
It's still a great age to do these things together, though, to sit down together and read the book together and solve the problems together and have it be a very sort of special mom and kid time or dad and kid time.
Yep, I agree.
So moving on from there, most of the more advanced things require kids to be able to type. And the thing that we have used for our kids is Typing Instructor for Kids, appropriately named. And our oldest son really loved this. Like, it was really, really fun for him to go through the different levels. And he types really well right now. So it's a downloadable desktop based.
For Windows and Mac. Nice enough. And I searched far and wide when I wanted to teach him to type. I figured there had to be some online program. We have Code Academy, we have Khan Academy, we have all these online things to teach kids to code. I figured there had to be something that taught him to type, but I couldn't find anything that was anywhere near as good as this. So go to Amazon.
Typing Instructor for Kids.
Seriously, it's like $18. You download it right off Amazon's site, Mac or Windows. It installs and it level after level after level. There's like Typer Island. There's all these. It's just kind of an adventure game for kids. Yep. And our son at this point, he's 9 and he types 60 words a minute at least. And I'd say 80, 90% of that was from this game and from him learning to do it through that. And so once your child knows how to type, to me, it's the next milestone.
So once they're typing, they're off and running and they can do more advanced coding tools.
Typically, yeah. I mean, to actually code at that point. I've heard criticisms of Scratch or of things like Robot Turtles or Go in that they're not really programming, right? And certain folks, you know, if you're going to teach someone who's 10 or 11 to code, I would tend to want to jump ahead to actually coding rather than going way back to scratch.
But you have to be developmentally appropriate to where your child is. If
that's
we
right.
began playing Robot Turtle at 3, fabulous, but you're not going to teach a child to code at 3 or
that's
4
right.
or 5,
yep.
usually, for most
yep.
children.
And so if your child can type now, even, and they don't have to be 50, 60 words a minute, but even if they can just type and not be frustrated, I looked at a bunch of different options, and originally I started with a book called Python for Kids. I've heard of a book called JavaScript for Kids. It's really good. And I tried CodeCademy.com for a long time, and it had marginal success, to be honest. It just didn't resonate with our oldest. I think the idea is to find something that resonates with your child, and any of the three things I've mentioned, Python for Kids, JavaScript for Kids, CodeCademy.com. I think they're all good options. The one that has most recently caught his attention and he is now fired up to do, which is really cool, is the Khan Academy programming lessons.
Did you know that you could make kids obsessed just by giving them meaningless electronic badges?
Yeah, that's the thing is even a year or two ago when I was first trying to teach him to code, it was just videos because I had looked at the programming stuff and it was just Khan recording his stuff on YouTube and we tried to watch it together and it didn't do anything. But I don't know if it's because of the funding or what the deal is, but they have these really cool quizzes and badges and just stuff that really resonates with the 9-year-old set.
He can really track his success and is motivated to keep acquiring more and passing more levels. And even he will like gauge how many of the lessons he's completed and at what level of mastery. And he really likes that feedback.
That's right. It's the badge, kind of the badge culture. And
is that a thing, badge culture?
I just made it up. It's a thing now.
I think the Girl Scouts invented that.
I said it on a podcast, therefore it's law now. No, but the Khan Academy programming, it's JavaScript. It runs in a browser. It's kind of a no-brainer. So I think all of these things are worth trying and figuring out which one resonates with your child. Khan Academy happens to have been the one for the past maybe 3 to 6 months that is really resonating with him. The other one, and I'm kind of iffy on this, it's way more like a game than programming. It's called CodeCombat.com. It's almost like an iPad game in the sense of it's like a tower defense game, kind of. There's a little bit of object-oriented stuff in it, but it's pretty loose in terms of how it's actually teaching kids to code. So I'm kind of using it. It's something that I hold loosely, if I can say
it's
that.
It's a little more on the game side.
It is.
So
a lot more on the game
and
side.
And games are fun and great and
yep.
no problem. But.
Right. But every time I bring up, do you want to do coding? I don't want my kid to say, oh, can I do Code Combat? Because it's like, not really, because you don't learn that much from it. You learn a little bit, but it's like the reverse of the 80-20. It's like the 20-80. Like you learn 20% of it, even if you play it for an hour.
So we haven't yet ventured into the world of like in class coding or coding camps or things like that. Our kids have just been a little bit too little. But I think that's one of the things that we'll try next year or next summer even to sign our oldest up for some of the offerings in our local community that do coding-based classes for kids.
I think there's a lot of advantages to that. I think being in a room with an instructor who's not your parent and who has a lot of patience and who is training 10 or 15 kids at a time, there's just value in learning how to code with other people at a certain point. Coding is, in general, a solitary thing, as I consider it. That's how I learned. That's how kind of the great coders that I've known, they're often doing it solitary and they taught themselves and everything. But at a certain point, learning to relate to other people with it, I think, is valuable.
I think other people can also help new coders learn what's possible.
Yep. And I think it's nice to know some different options or kind of view it in a different way. Because if they're in a room with 10 kids and an instructor, they're just going to hear different things about it, right? They can only hear me say, well, this is a good career option and you can build games and whatever, you can code XYZ. They can only hear me say that so much before it becomes repetitive and it's the parent saying that. And I think this is a new environment to get kids involved in. You know, lucky for us, there's a great program in Fresno where we live. It's called GeekWise. It's normally teaches kind of high schoolers and up, but they have a summer program for kids. That's the one we're loosely involved with. I'm on the board of it. And I really like the idea of him doing that next year. And so I think that if you're in any type of environment where you can get your child who's maybe, I would say 8 or 9 and up is kind of the point to kind of get him involved in that.
And again, the emphasis is on this being fun, being a skill that you are learning over the long run. This is, as we talked about at the beginning, a skill base that many of our children are going to need for their whole lives and are going to need in a variety of ways. And to be able to learn these things and keep engaged with them at their pace, at a pace that's both developmentally appropriate and really enjoyable to them, is important. So if you're a parent who's looking for a kind of a classroom option, make sure there's an emphasis on something that's joyful, that's fun, that is really taught toward kids and isn't sort of high intensity, high pressure.
I think a junior college class would be awful, right? Because it's going to be like, don't do computer science, because then it's like a bunch of theory. It's what I did in college, which frankly pushed me away. Like, I coded from the time I was 8 until in high school. Then I went to college, I studied computer science, and I stopped coding for about 5 or 6 years. Because I was like, if this is what coding is, I don't want to do it. And I already had the love for it. So, I mean, that's the luxury we have these days. Like, in the 80s, there just wasn't anything. You bought these really dry books. There were almost no college courses. There was just no education. But these days, there are things that can make it fun for people of all ages, frankly, to learn how to do this. And so if it's something that resonates with your child, it's probably a good idea. If it isn't, I would just back off, wait 6 months or a year, reintroduce it, try to make it fun, and see if it's worthwhile investing in.
And I think if it's really important to you, but your child isn't interested in it, it can be important for you to begin to tell your child stories about how you're using this technology and the things that you're building and show them the websites that you've worked on and show them some backend stuff. So it may not be something that they're innately interested in for themselves, but because they are interested in you and what you're doing as a parent, as you introduce them to the topic and sort of tell the story of technology from your perspective, that can be something that's also really motivating. And we talk a little bit about this in the episode that we did about how to raise entrepreneurial kids, which wasn't directly about coding, but was about these frameworks and ways of thinking that have shaped the way that we've parented our kids to try to steer them towards less traditional, more open ways of thinking about their careers and their lives.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.